This evening, the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'll give you what the Lord's put on our heart for this evening. I appreciate the testimonies and the Lord moving in the songs, and glad that we can know who Jesus is. I think that's the most important thing in life. You get that right and everything else just fall into place, knowing who He is after that, and everything else just fall right where it needs to be in life. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's stand. When you found your place this evening, we'll read a few verses here and give you the thought the Lord's put on our heart. Again, do pray for Brother Gravely this evening. He'll be preaching here in just a few minutes as well. Pray for the service tonight that God will continue to have His way. 2 Peter chapter number 1, let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I like that verse. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Father, I love you, and I'm so thankful for the privilege that we have, Lord, to gather around your word this evening, Lord, a lamp into our feet, a light into our path, Lord, it's bread for our soul, Lord, it's water when we're thirsty. God, it's everything we need to get from here to heaven. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for just a few minutes, Lord, that you would magnify your word and that you would uplift your word through your servant tonight. God, that we would leave with a greater understanding of it, Lord, a greater appreciation for it. But Lord, most of all, a determination to walk closer with you in the coming days. Lord, to be a better Christian, be a better soul winner, Lord, a better disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to follow you more closely than we ever have before. I pray that you touch our pastor this evening. Watch over him as he preaches. Bring them back to us again safely. God, in everything that's done, Lord, be careful to give you praise and honor and glory, for it's all through your Son. We ask it in His name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want you to think with me for a few minutes about the text that we've read here this evening in the verse 15 verses here that Peter is writing, the second book that Peter has written here. And I want you to think with me, first of all, about the servant that we find in the text. The Bible said in verse number 1 that this is Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And when you begin to think about Peter, there's a lot of things we could say about Peter. We could say that he was the one that preached at Pentecost. We could say he was the one that called the Lord, that he said that, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We could talk about when he walked on the water. But when Peter began to introduce himself, he didn't start with any of those flattering things. The Bible said that he introduced himself as a servant. And before Peter was anything else, Peter, first and foremost, was a servant. He may have had other titles, other positions, other jobs that he might have fulfilled. But above all and before all, Peter considered himself a servant. And when you think about a servant's only job is to please their master. They may have different tasks. They may have different positions. They may have different responsibilities. But the purpose of that servant is to bring pleasure and to bring honor and to fulfill the will of the master. You think about in Bible days the different jobs that the servants might have had. One may have worked in the field as a laborer. Another may have served in the kitchen as a cook. One may have washed the traveler's feet, and another may have stood guard outside of the home. But all in all, their purpose and their goal and their task was to bring pleasure to their master. And when you think about our life and you think about why we're here, there's a lot of different things we get to do. We're involved in a lot of things, a lot of tasks that we fulfill. fulfill a lot of jobs that we occupy, but our goal and our position and our role in life is just to bring pleasure and to bring honor and to bring glory to Christ. You think about in heaven, the Bible said in Revelation 4:11, the beasts that were around the throne said, "Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Those beasts that were in heaven said, "You've created everything, and here's why: to bring pleasure and to bring honor to Christ." And Peter looked at his life and he could have said a lot of things. But when Peter began to introduce himself, he introduced himself as a servant. Peter reached the Jew and Paul reached the Gentile. John was ordered to care for the mother of Jesus. Others had to leave all to follow Jesus. Isaiah got to preach to kings. Noah got to preach to reprobates. Their tasks differed, but their purpose was the same: to bring pleasure and to bring honor and to bring glory to Christ. Their goal was to be a servant that pleased God. And Peter is making it very clear. He may have been a lot of other things, but he was a servant. First of all, think about the servant in the text. But then I move on in verse number 1 to the salvation in the text. As the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, notice what he begins to say: to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter begins to mention the one thing that brings us all together. There's a lot of things that we could point to that bring us all together: friendships and relationships, or maybe work on the job together, maybe have kids go to school together. A lot of things bring us together, but the one thing that molds us into the body of Christ, and the one thing that brought us all here to church tonight, is because we're saved and we're born again and we have obtained like precious faith. The salvation in the text. And I love what he said. He said that them have obtained like precious faith. Peter didn't put himself up on a special plateau and say that he had something nobody else could have, but he looked at the lowest of the low in the church and he said, "We've all got like precious faith." Peter begins to talk about the salvation that's in the text. Not only is it like precious faith, look at what he said. He says, "You've obtained it with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The same salvation that Peter had, the same God that Peter was serving, the same one that he got his righteousness through, is the same one that every one of us who are saved and born again can look to and say, "That's the Savior that I serve, and that's the salvation that I have." Peter mentions a servant. Peter mentions salvation. But I'm interested in verse number 2 through verse number 4. Peter begins to mention a surplus in the text. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, notice the proclamation that's made possible by a gift. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says this: "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And I begin to think about Peter's greeting, Brother Blake. It's a little bit remarkable to think about in the context. As you begin to think about Peter writing to them a grace and mercy, as we begin to think about the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament were very familiar with God's mercy. We look all throughout the Old Testament, you'll find mercy on every page. When God accepted the sacrifice that Adam and Eve made, you'll find mercy when the sacrifices that were made there at the temple, you'll find mercy on the Day of Atonement when they would go in and take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it there in front of the altar, and God would give them mercy in not giving them what they deserve for another year. He would push the guilt of their sin and push the punishment of their sin out for another year. They were very familiar with mercy. But then I think about the other term that he uses. He used grace and peace. You begin to think about the wicked. The Bible said twice in Isaiah that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. He makes it very clear. He said the wicked are like a troubled sea. They are tossed to and fro. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But what you'll find here in our text is that Peter is writing to these people and he is proclaiming grace and peace. Peter is looking at what they have through the blood of Calvary. And he said, "You used to not have any peace at all, but now, thanks to Calvary, you have grace and peace. And it used to be mercy and God not giving you what you did deserve, but now he gives grace and he offers grace to take you to be with him in heaven." And Peter now can talk about grace and talk about peace thanks to Calvary. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." How? "Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Because of the gift that was made possible on Calvary, not only did we get mercy, but we get grace. Thanks to Calvary, peace is now available through the wicked. There is a proclamation that could only be possible by a gift. The Bible talks about the gift of God being eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the proclamation. But then there's a provision that's made possible by God. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." How is it that we're able to gain this knowledge of Christ and experience this grace and peace? How is it that we have the peace of God when there was no peace to the wicked? How is it that we now have peace that passeth all understanding? Peter said, according as His divine power hath given unto us. He said, what did He give to us? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Peter said, anything you need for physical life, anything you need for spiritual life, He has given it all. He didn't just give some of it. The Bible said that He gave us all things. Anything that we need for life, Peter said, comes from Him. Paul would say that of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Anything you need for life, anything you need for spiritual life is possible through Him. If you need grace, He has made it possible. If you need provision, it's already on the way. If you need security, the Bible says He is my horn and my buckler and salvation. If you need love, the Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whatever you need, if it pertains to life and godliness, Peter said, we found it all through His divine power. He said, according as His divine power hath given unto us, not just some of it, but given us all things. Nothing we need in life cannot be found in Him. Peter is talking about a proclamation. He's talking about a provision that's made possible by God. But then, there's a participation that's made possible by grace. The Bible said in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That word whereby just means through. It carries the idea of a channel. Because of what God did in giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, now not only do we have everything we need down here, but Peter says this, that now we have exceeding great and precious promises. Why? That we might be partakers of the divine nature. Not only did I get everything I needed, now I am a partaker in Christ. I am part of the body of Christ. I have fellowship with Christ. I have communion with Christ. That word partaker means to be a partner, to be one in communion with, to be an associated. We are seated in heavenly places. Paul will tell us all of this made possible by Calvary. Every bit of it made possible by the blood of the Lamb. Not only is He promised deliverance from hell, but now we have partnership in the divine. Not only is there salvation from hell, but there is fellowship that can be had in Him. We are partakers of the divine nature. The surplus in the text, the salvation, the servant. But notice this in verse number five. Notice the summons in the text. Peter said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. And Peter is going to go on to list seven different qualities here in these next few verses. What's interesting to me is that he says, and beside this. I mean, what more could you want? After all that God has done for us in saving us from hell, and after giving us and allowing us to be partakers of the divine nature, we're seated in the heavenly places, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Christ living on the inside of us. All of our needs have been taken care of. Everything I need that pertains unto life and godliness. What else could there be to the Christian life? And Peter said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You say there's more too. I mean, how could there be more with grace and peace now at our disposal, every need supplied, fellowship with God? What more could you ask for? I mean, what more could we need? Nothing about salvation. Peter has made it clear. God took care of every bit of that. But Peter said this, there's something we need to add to our faith. Peter has a call for the church here. Peter looks at a church who's saved, who's born again. They've got Christ living on the inside. They have grace and they have peace and they have mercy. And that's wonderful. But Peter said, all right, let's take the next step. Let's come on up a little higher. Let's add to our faith, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Peter didn't want them to stop being content at their salvation. And Peter didn't want them to stop just being content at where they were in Christ and what God had done for them. But he wanted to lead them on up to higher ground and lead them on up to be closer with Christ and to walk closer to Him. Peter said, adding to your faith. Peter wasn't content with the church staying at salvation. And how sad is it when we as Christians get content with just what God has done for us and not what we can do for Him? How sad is it when we get so content with having grace and peace and we forget about the thousands and the millions around us who do not have it? How sad is it to get so content and so at ease in Zion with all things pertaining unto life and godliness we forget about our responsibility to God? Because in every one of these verses, it's been all about God's responsibility to us. He gave us grace. He gave us peace. He gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has made us poor. We haven't done anything in these verses. And when we get saved, there's nothing we can do. All we do is come to Him and He takes care of all the rest. But Peter said, now that you're saved, now that you're born again, now that you got all things pertaining unto life and godliness, let's add to our faith. Let's take it a step higher. These are not things that the lost man is responsible to add, because Peter said to add them to your faith. What are these things that Peter is talking about? He calls them these things. These. I want to preach on these things for just a minute tonight, if I could. I want to show you what Peter is beginning to talk about, these things. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, for if these things be in you and abound, that make you that you should be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again in verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Verse number 12, the Bible said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Verse number 15, the Bible said, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter has begun talking in the first four verses about all that God has done for us. And he said that God gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But now he's going to talk about these things that we are to add to our faith. Over and over and over again, Peter is talking about these things. I want you to think with me, first of all, tonight about the implementation of these things. What's going to happen if I take what Peter is talking about and add it into my life? Well, notice number 8, there'll be a closer relationship. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, if you'll take what I'm telling you and you'll add it to your life, allow it to work in your life, there'll be a closer relationship. And that knowledge of Christ is interesting, because already he's talked about the knowledge of Christ several times. Look at verse number 2. We found grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. We found grace and peace when we begin to know the Lord. In verse number 2, the Bible said, verse number 3, the Bible said he gave us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. There's great things to learn in Christ. There's great things to receive from Christ. There are great and higher depths and heights than we could ever imagine, but only if we implement these things. Peter said, if you'll take these things, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. You won't be inactive without fruit in the knowledge of Christ. Without these things, there's no advancement in our relationship with Christ. There's no heights in our relationship with Christ. There is no developments and there's no breakthroughs in our knowledge and our relationship with Him. Peter said, if you'll implement these things, there can be a closer relationship. Not only a closer relationship, there can be a clearer reality. Look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things. Okay, here's what happens if I don't have these things. He's blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I think that's one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. What Brother John was talking about, the leper. How could a leper forget that he'd been purged from that disease? Purged from that, those sores and those boils that were eating him up. And how could you forget what you used to be? Peter said, let me tell you how. You don't implement these things. Peter says, you don't live the way I'm telling you and the way I'm preaching to you. You'll forget. You'll become blind. Cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's amazing. It makes it harder to sing. It's harder to sing praises to God when you forgot where he brought you from. It's easier to sin because it doesn't mean as much what he brought you out of it. It's difficult to serve him because there's no real love, no more joy there when we don't implement these things. Peter's making these things very important. There's a clear reality, a closer relationship. There's a confirmed reception. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter said, if you want to go in and be received with joy, and be received with gladness, and have crowns to cast at his feet, you'll have to implement these things. The alternative would be to be saved, but so as by fire, to just make it in by the skin of your teeth. But Peter said, if you want to have an abundant welcome, if you want to have something to lay at his feet, you'll have to implement these things. These are important things. The implementation of these things. Think about this. Think about the impartation of these things as Peter begins to preach about them. In verse number 12, he begins to tell us just how important they are to his message. If you heard Peter preach, you're going to hear him preach about these things. He said in verse number 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth, Peter said, even when you've heard them, I'm going to preach them to you again. Peter said, you know them, you're established in them, you're walking in them right now, but they're so important, Brother Laddie. When I come, you mark it down, we'll preach it again. Peter said, even when you've heard it, even when I'm here, he said in verse number 13, yea, I think it is meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Peter said, I don't have very long to be here. But while I'm here, I want to preach about these things. Peter said, even when I'm home, I want you to remember these things. Verse 15, he said, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter said, I've preached them to you before, and you're living them, but I'm going to preach them again. Peter said, I'm going to have to go and preach to some other churches, but while I'm gone, I want to come back and stir you up and remind you again of these things. And after I'm dead and gone, I want you to keep living these things. The implementation of these things, the impartation of these things, the identification of these things. What are these things? Wouldn't do us any good to talk about how important they are if we don't zero in and take them and apply them to our life. With all that we have in Christ, with Him giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, with Him giving us grace and peace and mercy, with everything we have in Christ, what more could I possibly do to develop my relationship with Christ? What would be so valuable that I would be, if I forgot it, I would forget where Jesus brought me from? What would be so important that Peter said, if you want an abundant welcome, you got to do these things? Look at verse number five. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. The virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. And temperance, patience. And a patience, godliness. The godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. Peter said, these things. And boy, in my mind, I'm thinking about a great mission and a great task and a great objective the Lord would have me to perform, a great message He would have me to preach, a great deed He would have me to do. But rather, He said, what I'd rather you do is just take these qualities of Christ and live them every day. To look at our example, who fulfilled every one of these and to live them every day. What's the first one there? In verse number 5, the Bible says this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. I thought that was an interesting word. It means manliness or valor. It signifies strength and security. And what He's talking about, He said, add to your faith virtue. He said, when you take that faith that you've been given and when you first become a Christian in Christ, you're weak and you're vulnerable and you're easily carried about by every wind of doctrine, just like I was talking about earlier with the preacher of the past, and it's easy to be swept aside and to be swept away. But Peter said, if you want to walk in these things, defend your faith. Build up your faith. Strengthen your faith in Christ. He said, add to your faith virtue. And it carries the idea of keeping it excellent, keeping it clean, of carrying something and keeping it from harm. Keeping it holy and keeping it undefiled, keeping it pure, safe from attack. Peter said, if you want to follow these things, I tell you what you need to do is guard your faith against the wiles of the devil, against the lust of the flesh, to add virtue to your life. But not only virtue, he said this, add knowledge. And to virtue, knowledge. Because knowledge and virtue go hand in hand. To know what is right and to not be able to do it is worthless. Or to be able to do it and not know what is right. It's just, it's worthless. They have to go hand in hand. And Peter said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to be strong, but you need to be skilled in the knowledge of Christ. You say, this is elementary. This is Sunday school lessons. Peter said, if these things be in and abound, your relationship with God will be closer. Be able to walk without falling. Be able to remember where God brought you from. You say, these things, adding to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge. What about temperance? The Bible said to add temperance to our life. That word temperance just means self-control. To be able to hold it in, to not give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, to be able to keep yourself clean and undefiled and pure and holy. Peter said, these things. Boy, this is the one we all like, patience. Everybody loves to talk about patience. But Peter said this, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience. That word patience just has to do with a cheerful endurance or a constancy. One writer said that temperance has to do with handling the pleasures of life, while patience relates primarily to the pressures and problems of life. But when the hard times come and the pressures come, to just be able to take them patiently. Peter said, if you do these things, He said, make it, you should be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. Verse number 6, he said this, godliness. Anything relating to piety and reverence. Drawing closer to God, drawing away from the things of the world. You know, there's some things in the world that are not wrong, just not godly. They're pulling me away from Him. They're drawing me farther away from Him. And Peter said, if you want to follow these things, follow godliness, brotherly kindness. Boy, that's the woman that I love, brotherly kindness. I struggle with that. Time to time, it's easy. I was thinking about on the way here to come to church on a Sunday morning and be doing one of the most Christian things in the world, come to church and get behind a biker and just lose all of that Christianity and all that kindness in about 5 minutes, isn't it? It's so easy to do. It's so easy to get caught up in doing the big things and seeing the big picture that we miss these things, the brotherly kindness. There was a time when Christians were known for being kind, for being caring, for being loving, and being cheering. You go back and you read the letters of the men who persecuted the Christians, of the men who would take all of the towns and villages and drive them into one city and slaughter them all, and the wicked would have to say without exception they were kind, they were loving, they never harmed anyone. That was the reputation that a Christian had. Brotherly kindness. And lastly, charity. Just means love. Peter has no intention for the church to be a place of weaklings and ignorant men. He said, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. Peter had no vision of a Christianity which did not practice temperance and handle trials with patience. He makes it clear that the Christians be marked by godliness, by brotherly kindness and love. God never intended for a Christian to be anything but these things. These things don't take the place of our salvation. Our goal and our purpose in life is to please Him, and we can do that by adding these things into our life. Miss Sheila, if you come this evening, if you would, we'll stand all over the building. You're thinking about these things that are in our life. All of these things are things that cannot be hidden. You know, it's hard to hide someone who loves people. It's that they're outgoing. They speak to everyone they meet. They help whoever they come across. It's hard to hide someone who's full of brotherly kindness and love. It's hard to hide someone who is very knowledgeable and able to keep themselves from things in the world, to the point where Peter will tell the Christians in the first book that he wrote, being ready to give every man an answer that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. Peter looked at Christians and he said, there ought to be something so different about you. People want to ask, brother, why are you so kind? Why are you so helpful? Why do you love everybody when they're doing you wrong? Peter had just imagined that there would be all these people coming to us and saying, what's different about you? When you point back to Scripture and say, oh, it's these things. It's knowledge, virtue, temperance, patience, and godliness. Because I have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gave me grace. He gave me peace. He's given me everything I need. I'm a partaker with Him. So I'm spending my life living these things. Peter expected Christians to be different. You know, it sounds unimportant and it sounds non-crucial maybe. It sounds maybe like a Sunday school lesson at best. But Peter told him this in verse number 5, beside this, giving all diligence. That word diligence means haste. Peter looked at everything that God had done for us, and he said, what I want you to do is make haste, to be concerned about, to be bothered by the fact that I'm not living in these things. Why? Because when you fall in love with these things, the relationship with Christ will become closer. Begin to remember what God did for you again and where He brought you from and be able to enter heaven and receive a great reward. Why? These things. Maybe God's spoken to your heart this evening. If He has, come do business with Him as we sing this.